Let's go to Psalms 121. Psalms 121, I think one of my favorite psalms, and a psalm that I have leaned heavily on in my life. I think each and every one of us understands that from time to time we need help, and hopefully we understand that from time to time we need God's help, and there's a place to get help. Psalms 121, if you'll go there and look, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'll read the entire psalm. There's just 8 verses. If you would stand with me for the reading of the Bible, Psalms 121, and verse number 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my, and that next word is what we're going to look at this morning, help. My help, there it is again, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible. Lord, thank you that we can look to you for during times where we need help and we need assistance. And Lord, we're here to honor 3 very special groups of people, and we want to do a right and proper job of that. Thank you for putting it in the hearts, Lord, of those among us to give their lives to be helpers, Lord, your helpers, so that your people can get the help that they need when they need it. And so, Lord, we want them to feel honored and thanked this morning. Just bless the message, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We've designated this Sunday a red, white, and blue Sunday. And we're making an effort to show honor and appreciation to those in our community who serve us, protect us, doctor us, nurse us, and sometimes save us. The people we are highlighting today are the firefighters, that's red, and the white, those that serve in the medical profession, and the blue, of course, are our law enforcement officers. And we're doing this for several reasons. By the way, good, solid Bible reasons to have a Sunday like this. Number one, the Bible teaches us that we're to give honor to whom honor is due. The Bible says if somebody ought to be honored, then they should be honored. And these professions take a lot of personal sacrifice, and it takes a heart, a servant's heart, to just spend your life helping people. So it's the right thing to do because we are commanded by the Bible to give honor to whom honor is due. The Bible teaches us that we are to offer thanks to those who should hear it. And you know, that's one of the things that I think we can't get away from as Christians. Thank you ought to come very regularly and very easily from our lips. And I think one of the most dangerous things that you can have happen in your Christian life is to lose a heart of gratitude. And so let's first of all be thankful to the Lord, because folks, from him all blessings flow, okay? But also he uses a lot of people in all of our lives to bless us in a lot of ways. Hey kids, when's the last time you said thank you to mama? Hey kids, when's the last time you said thank you to dad? Come on, think about this. When's the last time you said thank you to your Sunday school teacher, grandma and grandpa? Come on, don't tell me grandma and grandpa don't spoil you. When's the last time you said thank you? It's a wonderful thing just to keep a thankful heart. And then the Bible teaches us that being a servant is the greatest of all titles. And by the way, that came from the very lips of Jesus Christ. He told his disciples, the servant is greatest of all. So there's a lot of people that spend a lot of money to get a lot of degrees so that they can have a lot of titles. But you know what Jesus said? If you've got a servant's heart and you have a willingness just to be a blessing to other people, then you know what? That is the greatest thing that you can do on this earth. And so what we're doing here is right and biblical this morning and proper. The men and women here today, as well as those who could not attend. And by the way, folks, when we invite this group of people, you've got to understand, these professions run 24/7, and there's a lot of people that wish they could be here and was very appreciative that they were being invited, but I'm glad that they're doing what they ought to do. I really am today, because somebody needs help today. I promise you, somebody somewhere needs help, and these folks are doing that. The men and women here today, as well as those who could not attend, who faithfully serve in our fire departments, various law enforcement agencies, or in the medical profession, they have one thing in common. And think about this. They are the people we call on when we need, what was the word I emphasized? When we need help. And there's been times that me and my family have had to reach out to different groups and call specifically for them to come help us. Me and my wife years ago lived just outside of Brazil, Indiana, and I had gone to church and preached that morning, and we got home and we ate lunch, and then you go to church and then you eat lunch, and then what do you do after that? You take a nap. That's a Sunday ritual. It's a sacred thing and a proper and right thing to do. So we just kind of lean back in our recliners, just catching a little rest, and then get up and get ready for the evening service. And we had a wood burner going there, and all of a sudden, as I leaned back, it was an older home. It had real high ceilings, and all of a sudden, I began to see smoke coming out of the trim work. Now, I don't know all about how a fireplace and a chimney is supposed to work, but I don't think that the idea is for smoke to be coming out of the trim. And I'm thinking, am I dreaming this? Is this really happening? And I say to Cheryl, should we do something about this? And she said, call 911. That's what we're supposed to do about it. And so we were in an area, a rural area, where we had a volunteer fire department. And so I called 911. And I am not kidding you. In less than 6-7 minutes, we had every single piece of equipment from that volunteer fire department and every single member of that fire department at our house. You say, does that always happen? It happens if you call 911 while they are at the fire station having a meeting, and they happen to be at the fire station all having a meeting, and they all decided they were going to come. But I was sure glad to see them. You know why? Because we needed help. Years ago, I don't get sick very often. I've been blessed for most of mine. Some of y'all, I've been going through cancer for a couple years, but before that, for 60 plus years of my life, I just had almost flawless health, and thank God for that. But I did have problems with the gallbladder. How many of you had your gallbladder taken out? You're part of the gallbladder club. Okay, all right. You know what I'm talking about now. I noticed things weren't right, but as a man, what do? You ignore those things because that's what men do. Matter of fact, us men are so bad at that they actually begin to put billboards on the side of the road that said this: most men will die of stubbornness. Can you believe that? They put the billboards, and somebody sent me a picture because some man climbed up on there with a black can of spray paint and wrote underneath, "No, we won't." So there you go. See, no, we won't. Are you nurses listening? I don't want to look this way anymore, all right? Let me finish this story, but yeah. And so, you know, I know things weren't right, and my food wasn't sitting right, and I was having some pain, and, you know, you just think, well, it's this or it's that. And finally, I came to church one Sunday morning, and I started really hurting. I came here, got everything on, intended to preach, and I've never done this. If I got to get to church, I preach. And even if I'm not feeling well, if I'm there, I've always been able to pull it off. Well, that morning, I literally was doubled up in my office, and I finally called the assistant pastor, Jonathan Reiser, and I said, you're going to have to do this thing. I got to go home. So I go home. Cheryl's there. I said, I think I'll be all right. Go on to church. So she went to church, and then all of a sudden, my pain began to get worse and worse and worse. And then I think to myself, I'm trying to call my wife, you know, because surely your wife cares, and actually she'll come and save you, you know. And voicemail. I guess church was going on. She's not really supposed to have her ringer on. So I had a little Chevy S10 standard shift 5-speed truck. And I said, I'm driving myself to the hospital. You say, why? Because I'm Jerry Ross and I'm going to drive myself to the hospital. But every time I would push in the clutch, I would scream, you know, as I'm going through the 5 gears. And I get all the way to Stuckey's because I'm trying to get to regional hospital, the closest one. And you know what? All of a sudden, I think to myself, I'm hurting so bad I can't make it. I just can't make it. I'm going to turn around and go home. And then, then this little voice of common sense somewhere said, hey, dummy, it's farther to get back home than it is to go to the hospital. Keep going. So I went, and I made it, and I got to the parking lot. And I want to apologize to anybody that's handicapped. Yes, I parked in the handicap. parking lot. I'm walking in, doubled over. I look, and the lady, you know how usually they'll say, fill out this form where you need to sit over there? She just looked at me and said, come with me. I didn't realize I'd turned jaundice. I was actually yellow. And so, I had some issues, you know. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that those folks were on duty even on a Sunday. Can I get an amen? That they were there to help me. Say, why did you need them? Because I needed some help. I needed some help. We've had to have help from the fire department. We've had to have help from the medical field. And mercy sakes, we take care and have taken care of Cheryl's mom and dad for years. Now Cheryl's dad's passed away. But I got to say, the Colmont Fire Volunteer Fire Department, I just want to say a shout out to those people. Because I was out of town a few times, and Beverly fell, or Lloyd fell, and Cheryl couldn't get him up. Kindest people in the world. Just come over, help us get him up, check him out, and just would literally say, here's our number. Anytime you need help on any... Folks, aren't you glad people are there when you need help? When you need help? You know? So, you know, we've had... I haven't said a lot about law enforcement. We try not to need them a lot. Of course, with... You know, and we try not to say a lot about this, but with my wife's criminal background, you can understand that. I have been glad that there have been people to kind of help get her. You know, it's a lot. So if anyway, and by the way, if the sheriff left, I might, someone call him. I might need to know if he has an extra bed in the jail tonight, because I have a feeling that I'm going to be sleeping there tonight. Notice again how I'm not looking this direction, you know. I really like you folks over here. And then, you know, 2 years ago, nobody likes to hear the C word. And I'm not up here just, I don't mean to just talk about me, but I'm just sharing stories. And by the way, I think every one of us could stand up and share similar stories of, you know what, preacher, there was a time we needed medical help and they were there. There was times we needed a fire department or paramedics and they were there. There was times, you know, when law enforcement came and literally was there at a crisis situation where we needed them. And folks, listen, I guess what I'm saying is this. You know what? These folks have one thing in common, is that they are who we turn to when we need help. Now, those represented by the red, white, and blue folks are our helpers. I want our young people to hear me say that. They're your friends. They're your friends and they're your helpers. They show up at your property. They're there to help you. They're there to take maybe not an ideal situation and get it to where it's back to an ideal situation. And so always, always be thankful for them. I decided this week to just take a little bit of time and study two words in the Bible, help and helper. And one of the first things I found out, and I think this ought to be said first, and I think the folks here that we're honoring would want me to say it first, but... You know, the Bible, first of all, points to the Lord when it talks about the subject of help. You know, God reminds us again and again in the Bible that when we're in trouble, the first call we ought to make is a call towards heaven. How about that? And he's there for us. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes where? From the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And Psalms 30, verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And the Bible mentions two different times about groups of people that got themselves in a situation and there was no one to help them. And I thought to myself, you know, every time we've really had a crisis or a need, I've been able to call out and people have been able to come and help. And it's a sad situation when the Bible has to talk about the idea that there was no helper. Folks, we can't say that in our area. We are blessed with people that, you know what, will rush with lights and sirens towards danger or towards crisis in order to be there when we need help. But I want to say that I'm glad that they're there. But first of all, I'm glad for the Lord. You know, he takes care of each and every one of us in a way that probably we'll have to get to heaven in order to truly understand. How many times he was there in crisis, or how many times he delayed us by a few minutes, changed the circumstance so we didn't have to face a crisis. When you get to heaven, I think we're going to really understand how much the Lord really took good care of us. Come on now, our children and our grandchildren, and I'm sure thankful for it. And so I read so much about the Lord being our helper, and that's where we're supposed to look to. And then I thought of all the people in my life that have helped me, and this is what the Lord told me. He said this. He said, Jerry, yes, I'm supposed to be the first one you turn to in times of need, but a lot of times the way I help you is by using earthly helpers to help us during times of crisis. You know, there's the story told, and you probably heard it, about a man that ended up in a bad situation. There was a flood. He was on top of his roof, and he's praying to the Lord for help. You've heard this story. And he's praying and saying, God, I need you to help me. And so a guy comes by in a John boat, and he says, hey, friend, get in. And he said, that's okay. I'm praying to the Lord. He's going to help me. And so the guy drives off. Helicopter comes and hovers over and drops a ladder and said, come on up. He said, that's okay. I'm praying to the Lord to help me. A few minutes later, you know, here comes a rescue boat, and he won't get in the boat. He said, the Lord's going to help me. Well, you know what happened? He ended up drowning. He stood before the Lord in heaven, and he said, Lord, what happened? I prayed 3 times for you to help me, and you never helped me. And the Lord said, you dummy, I sent a John boat, I sent a helicopter, and I sent a rescue boat. And I think that story does kind of illustrate to each of us that doesn't God, yes, we're praying to the Lord for help, but how many times does God work through human agencies and human resources to bring that help to us? You see, folks, these are not just firefighters and law enforcement officers and home health workers and nurses and doctors. These are God's helpers that he uses to help us when we need it. And I think God creates these people in a very special way. I've gotten to know enough of them to see it. One thing that's consistent, all kinds of different personalities, all kinds of different backgrounds. But it seems like if you get into one of these three areas and you stay in it, there's something inside of you that has been put by God to prepare you to be able to do that. It just seems like God creates some people with a built-in desire, first of all, to want to help people. Not everybody does that. Some people are very selfish in this day and age. They would not want to spend their life trying to serve or help other people. So first of all, they seem like God just kind of maybe puts, as he's creating them in their mother's womb, he puts an extra measure of selflessness and compassion and maybe an extra measure of grace, because it takes an extra measure of grace to deal with the public and deal with a less than ideal situations. And so I think about that. But yes, I think he might hardwire some of that into some of us because we need helpers. But also, if you get to know these folks, sometimes that's been put into them because of things that they've gone through in their past. And you know what? They went through rough times or they needed help. I mentioned in Sunday school, I got a daughter who's a nurse, and you know, she calls me in her middle 30s and says, I'm going back to college. I need your prayers, Dad. I'm going to try to get my nursing degree. Where did that come from? Well, because 9 years before that, she had a heart baby, and you know, she spent the first 2 years of her life in the NICU unit, a lot of hours, a lot of days, months at a time. And, you know, there were so many people there that helped Jackson and helped her and helped members of our family that, you know what, after she'd gone through all of that, God put something inside of her saying, somebody was there when I needed help. It's time for me to get ready to help somebody else and to be able to pay that thing forward. And I know most of you that are here as our guests, you're private people like I'm private, but, you know, I guarantee you this. One of the reasons that most of these people have a heart to help hurting people is because they know what it is to hurt a little bit. And so, you know, God puts them in there and he prepares these people in a special way. I think he just places this in their heart and through the circumstance he asked them to go through. So, number three, and we're finishing up, we should be thankful to those who God sends our way to help us in times of need. Now, how can we do this, okay? Well, first of all, let's show appreciation. We're going to do that today. And we put together a little gift basket for you, or a little bag for you. We've got food. We want you to go and we want you to have a meal and enjoy it. And we want to have an opportunity for you to hang around after a while if you can, so that some of our folks, and especially our kids, they're all primed to want to come and shake your hand and thank you. And so we ought to do it. We ought to do it on a special day like this. But folks, I'll be honest with you. I honestly got. I think the Lord worked in my heart a little bit the last couple of weeks. You know, it's fine to have an appreciation day every once in a while, but let's not just let this be a one-year event. You know, every single member of our church, please listen to me. Don't pass up an opportunity to thank someone that's working in law enforcement. Sister Cindy told me that she was Cindy Davis, that she'd passed out a lot of these cards and went and seen a lot of people. And she said, I was driving down 41. And she said there was state troopers there. And they're there just in case you need help, okay? They're there to help you. They are. They're there to be your helper. And if you don't want help, they'll help you in another way. But anyway, so she said, I've seen them, and I turned around and came back and turned in the medium. I don't imagine you'd probably recommend that one of our members do this. And so she said they were giving me a little bit of a look like, what are you doing? And so she then pulled a card out and handed it to them. And she said, I just wanted to invite you. And they said, well, thank you. And she said, no, sir, no, no, thank you. Thank you for what you do. And then they said, well, I appreciate that. I don't know if I'll be able to come, but it sure means a lot. And folks, listen, come on. When we go to the doctors, usually when we're not feeling good. So how are you when you're not feeling good? And so think about what they have to deal with a lot of times. And so many of us have unrealistic expectations. You know, there's no miracle pill. There's no magic wand. And so when things aren't going right, sometimes we won't take it. Hey, I get all that. Sometimes we don't feel good. But be thankful. Thank your doctor the next time you're in there. Thank the nurses. You know, like I mentioned, you know, I've got two of my cancer nurses from St. Francis. By the way, they drove all the way from Indianapolis to come down and be with us today. There's a team of three of them, okay, that's been assigned to me because I'm trying to think of a nice way to put this. I can be a challenge at times, and Brooke, she's the one that heads it up, okay? So she tells everybody this. Jerry doesn't always do what we say. But he always tells on himself when he don't do what we say. And that's because I'm a man and I'm bragging about it, you know? And so the problem is a lot of the times when I was supposed to be like limited contact at church, I forget we're on live stream and I forget my nurses were getting online and watching to see. And then I'd walk in, you weren't wearing your mask. I said, you ever try to preach with a mask on? What are you talking about, you know? And you're down there hugging kids. They're little germ factories, you know. And yeah, that's true. They are. And so, like I said, I don't always. And so we've got Brooke, we got Latoya, and then we got Gabby. Now, Gabby couldn't be here. And Gabby's got issues, okay? And I think she'll watch this later on, so I need to talk about Gabby. I love Gabby with all my heart. I love her. But she is a Taylor Swift fan. She's a Swiftie. So can you imagine the hard time I give Gabby over this? And she gives me over this. She'll come into the room singing Taylor Swift songs at the beginning of my appointment. And so I told her, if you don't come, I'm telling everybody you were at a Taylor Swift concert. And you love Taylor Swift more than you love Jesus. That's what I'm telling. That's what I'm telling everybody. Now, is that true? No, it's not true. She had a wedding this weekend that she'd committed to, but that's my story and I'm sticking with it, all right? She loves Taylor Swift more than Jesus. That's why she didn't come. Jesus told a story, and by the way, he didn't tell the story. It actually happened in his life. There are 10 people that had leprosy, and they came and approached Jesus, you know. And can you imagine? They hear that Jesus is healing people, and if you were a leper, wouldn't you want to get that help? So 10 of them come, and Jesus healed all 10 of them. And as they walked away, one of them all of a sudden turned around and came back and thanked him. Just simple thank you. And you know what? He asked a question. He said, where are the other nine? And, you know, all of us have to make a choice in life. Are we going to be part of, you know, the one? And I will tell you this, thankfulness is more an exception than the rule. It just is. So I've got to make a decision in my life. Am I going to be the one that takes the time to express thankfulness? Or am I going to be one of the nine that sure receives a lot of the blessings of the Lord, and by the way, are helped by a lot of people, but never take the time to say thank you? I think we all have to make that decision in our life. So let's enjoy the rest of the day. I hope you do. It's 25 after. I'm 5 minutes early. Whoa. Yeah, take that, some of you. And but I'm still going to eat up these 5 minutes because for something good. We've got two young people that are wanting to be baptized today. And so little Tiffany and Chase Irvine are going to be baptized. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And we will have just a short time of invitation here. You know, I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been saved, ever received Christ as your Savior. But I mentioned about God being our helper. Well, those aren't just words. The greatest way that God ever helped any of us is spoken of in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And, you know, one of the things that my wife had to remind me about, because we do help, and we spend our life ministering to people and helping people, and sometimes those of us that spend our life helping, serving, giving, sometimes it's hard for us to admit we need help ourselves sometimes. And we're just so wired to always be the one helping that sometimes we don't get the help we need. And I want to tell every one of you this: God loves you. And he didn't just say it. You know, words can be pretty cheap and empty. He proved it by sending his son Jesus to die for our sins. And that's one thing that we all have in common in this room. We're all sinners. We all fall short of God's standard. And we all need to be forgiven of that sin. Well, God sent Jesus Christ to take the penalty, the punishment of sin for us, so that we could receive what the Bible calls the gift of eternal life. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. You say, "Preacher, I wasn't even alive then." He knew that you would be here, and he knew what sins you would commit. And that day he took Jerry Ross's sins and the sins of the entire world and put them on himself and said, "Lord," to the Father, he said, "you punish me instead of them for these sins." Now that means he's able to turn around and offer us something pretty amazing, and that's forgiveness. That's eternal life in heaven, a perfect place where imperfect people can go, because God is willing to forgive us because of what Jesus did. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to do that. There's people all around here that'd be more than glad to talk to you. I want you to leave here not just wondering or guessing or hoping that heaven will one day be your home, but knowing that for sure. And so if you would like to know that, we're going to have just a quick verse of invitation, and we're going to invite you to come. We have Brother Brian Morris here at the front. We have people trained to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. So let's stand on our feet at this time, heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the help that you sent to us. Help us to be willing to receive it. Lord, thank you. The greatest day of my life was the day that I received Christ as my Savior. And Lord, my life's never been the same since then. It sure didn't make me perfect, and I sure stumble and fall a lot and fall short a lot. But it's sure nice to know that you saved me and you've adopted me into your family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs Christ, I pray that they'd come and get the help they need.